Well, over these last couple of Sunday mornings, we've been starting to think a little bit about the Christmas message. And one thing that keeps coming up is the message, don't be afraid. Repeated lots of times. We've got it in Luke that we've been mostly in, the story of Zacharias and Mary. There's also a bit in Joseph. We might look at that next Sunday. And then to the shepherds this morning. There's the people in Jerusalem as well who are told we're afraid. And the message keeps coming, don't be afraid. But as we thought the last couple of weeks, we live in a world of fear. We have our phobias. And the word phobia just means fear. And in those fears, perhaps we know that there's some things that are more logical than others. That's not to downplay anyone's phobias, but perhaps deep down we do know that there's some things that are more rational fears than others. I don't know whether you can guess from any of those phobias up there, often with sort of Latin words, of what they might mean. Some of them would seem to be fairly logical. There's leupophobia, that's a fear of wolves. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it, to be a little bit scared of those. And others, you know, it depends a bit where you live. Arachnophobia, that's an obvious one, isn't it? That's pretty logical if you live in the outback of Australia. I mean, you probably should be quite cautious around spiders. But probably deep down in our own homes, we probably don't need to be too frightened of the tiny little spiders we have here. Others, perhaps people are aware of some of the risks. Aerophobia, that's a fear of going on an aeroplane. Or tomophobia, that's a fear of hospitals. Those things are sort of logical because people know that there's some risks involved. They're aware, you know, when you're flying, you're very high. You're aware in a hospital that there'll be things that are uncomfortable and painful. Those things seem quite logical. But perhaps others less so. Anyone want to guess on the last couple down the list? One of those might be. Now we've eradicated some. Not quite. Think of nomophobia. It's the fear of losing your phone or being without reception on it. Nomophobia is a fear of not being able to use your phone. Moosophobia is a fear of mice. Globophobia? Globe? Anyone? That's a fear of balloons. Maybe it's the noise. I could guess that. Perhaps some people don't like the shock of hearing something go bang very loudly. Hassan. Xanthophobia is a fear of the colour yellow. And octophobia is the fear of the number 8. These are recognised phobias. Some more rational than others, some more logical than others. But there are some things of which you should really be afraid. And if we stick with the story of the shepherds for a moment this morning, theirs was no idle fear. These were shepherds, and they were not scaredy cats. They were rugged men, experienced shepherds, rough living out in the wilds. These were people who lived out in fields, who trooped with their sheep through the wild places of Israel. They were used to that. They were used to the dark. Every night they'd keep watch over their sheep. They weren't afraid of the dark. They weren't afraid of their noises of wolves and so on. They would protect their sheep from wolves. If they heard the sound of wolves, they'd head towards them to make sure they would drive them off from the flocks. These were these men living out in their fields, looking after their flocks. They weren't scared of nothing, were they, in normal life? They were used to the dark, much more than ever we are. They were used to three sorts of light: firelight, starlight, and moonlight. That was it. That's all they had. That's all they had to go on, looking after their flocks by night. And yet we read in this story that we've just heard this morning that they were greatly afraid. These hard, rugged, rough-living men were petrified that first Christmas. What did they see? They saw an angel of the Lord, verse 9, who stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. That was it. That was what these shepherds saw. And it gave them an incredibly scary Christmas. It was not a happy Christmas at this moment for the shepherds in the field. It was the worst night of their lives. They'd never been so scared of anything. An angel of the Lord shining with the glory of the Lord. We thought a little bit, we won't recap too much. An angel who came was a visitor from the spiritual realm of heaven. Probably looked like a man, a human sort of appearance. It was a messenger from God. We thought of some of these things before. Think less like your stained glass windows and less like the little girls often playing them in a primary school play. And angel appearances were pretty rare. We thought of some of them in previous weeks. Of the, we could probably count them on two hands or so, a number of people who saw an angel in the Old Testament. It was pretty rare. What the shepherds saw was even more rare. For they don't just see one angel, then a little bit later they see a multitude of the heavenly host. Or some would have it, a company of the heavenly host. What they saw was an army. When you think of a company of a host, that is military language. This is an army that has come from heaven that they see. And they were petrified of what they saw. So those are the beings that they can see, these human sort of appearances that they can see in the field there near the sheep. What else did they see? We've mentioned before that actually there's no mention ever of them having halos, even having wings particularly, even flying, even in the story that it said they stand among them. There they are. But one thing here is very different. They shine with the glory of God. Now that is very, very rare. Most of the times angels appear in the Old Testament. Sometimes people wouldn't even know they were angels. They just seem quite ordinary. But this is different. They see an angel, then a whole company, an angel army shining with the glory of God. But still the focus isn't really the angels. It's the Lord, it's an angel of the Lord who shines with the glory of the Lord. In verse 9. That's what they saw. That was what was going on. So here we thought of angels in the last couple of weeks. What about this glory? They saw the glory of the Lord. Now, we've been here on Sunday mornings over, back in the summer and so on. We were looking in the book of Exodus. And there it's probably the most obvious time that comes up. Is when people saw glimpses of the glory of the Lord. That was on Mount Sinai. They saw fire and smoke up on the top of the mountain when God gave the Ten Commandments. And then after that, God gave instructions for the building of a tabernacle. Again, we thought about that in the summer. Perhaps you can remember. And when they first built the tabernacle, a cloud of glory came down on it so they couldn't even use it. And then the same thing happens years later when they build a temple in Jerusalem in Book of 2 Chronicles. Solomon finished building this big temple and the glory of the Lord comes down upon the temple. Dazzling, bright glory cloud. So much that the priests who have set to work in it are driven out of it. No one can possibly go into the temple because this glory of the Lord is so intimidating. It's so scary, no one can go in. Those are the things they saw. There's a couple of prophets who see something of it, Isaiah and Ezekiel, who see something of the glory of the Lord in a vision of heaven. And says this shining, dazzling brightness, pure light, radiance that shines upon them. We get little glimpses of this in the Old Testament. There's very few mentions of it at all in the Bible. Maybe some sort of cloud. And that's what the shepherds glimpsed. An angel of the Lord, then some more, shining with the glory of the Lord, and they were terrified. For way of example, it may not be very festive to think of a nuclear explosion on Christmas Day. But that seem to be one of the things that has happened in more modern times that people have described in kind of a similar way, in a weird way. In 1945, towards the close of the Second World War, America tested an atomic bomb in the desert. And a New York Times reporter was there, William Lawrence, and he wrote there, and he went, a lot of people went along with it. Intriguingly, it was called the Trinity Test. And they tested this weapon in the dark. It was before dawn, so pitch black in the skies above the desert. And he wrote this: "There rose from the earth a light not of this world, the light of many suns combined. It was as if the earth had split open, or the skies had split open, and light shone through like the light of God himself." That's what he said when they witnessed this explosion, this bright light that suddenly was there in the sky. They thought in the test that happened, anyone who was awake before dawn in the entire American states of Texas, Arizona, and the country of Mexico next door, anyone who was awake saw the light. There was even reports of a blind girl 100 miles away who saw something, who'd never seen anything before. She knew something had happened. She could tell there was something bright, even in her eyes, which barely worked. They saw this light. And maybe that's an example of something that maybe gives us a flavour of perhaps what the shepherds were experiencing, maybe too. Maybe that's what did they see? They saw the skies opened. They saw light shining in the heavens, a little bit like William Lawrence reported, a light not of this world, a light like that, more powerful than the sun, like the skies had suddenly split open. Maybe that was their experience too. Theirs was a very, very scary Christmas. The skies opened and light from the great beyond started shining through into Bethlehem. There was a blaze of glory of the unseen realm of heaven where God dwells, suddenly sort of being a little bit visible here in earth. Maybe they could see almost a doorway up into heaven as light was pouring out of the heavens down here into a dark earth. The unseen realm of where God dwells in holy purity suddenly had touched the earth. And a blaze of glory shone through, the glory of the Lord, brighter than the sun, a light not of this world, that illuminated the sheepfields of Bethlehem. And an army of angels came through. Now could you get a little bit of what the shepherds felt? Can you imagine what it was like? What were they thinking? To be afraid, to be very afraid, was the only logical thing to do that night. That was a correct thing, like being afraid of wolves or afraid of sharks or whatever. Those things make sense because they're dangerous. Here they were suddenly aware of a dangerous God and his holy purity. Maybe they thought it was the end of the world. That would kind of fit. A sudden blaze of glory, a sudden army coming from heaven. Maybe they wondered whether this was God coming in judgment to end everything. The reality of a dangerous God. And yet that's something we need to at least get a bit of an idea of, or we don't understand the good news we'll get to in a minute. We've got to understand what shook the shepherds to their core if we're going to glimpse something of the good news. In a moment, we're going to sing one of our children's songs, Happy, Happy Day. And in it, it tells us why it's going to be a happy day. But for the shepherds, if we leave them there for a moment, it really isn't quite yet. It's a very, very scary night. And yet there's a good thing in that. We're told in the Bible, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To be aware that God is a dangerous God, a scary God, a God who dwells in holy purity. And were we but to glimpse a tiny crack of that through the skies, it'd be more dazzling than that sun coming in through the windows, which we can't even look at. It'd be far, far more than that. So let's pause with the shepherds for a moment. We're going to sing. Well, we left the shepherds there for their moment of panic as they see an angel of the Lord, then more, shining with the glory of the Lord. But then the message comes of a happy day. A message of peace. Don't be afraid. Everything going on in the situation made them feel afraid. And that was the logical thing to do. But the angel comes, just one, going back to them in verse 10, and came with a message, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Saviour has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord." And the angel just piles one thing on another of good news. Don't be afraid. This is a happy day. I give you good tidings of great joy for all people. Today, a Saviour has been born. They were afraid, perhaps, the shepherds, of God coming to end the world, coming with angels, shining with glory and all the rest of it. And God had come. God had come. But not to judge the world, not to proclaim a war of angels or the end of the world. But God had come all the same. God had come as a Saviour. There is born to you in the city of David a Saviour. That's why the angel host has come. That's why it's been proclaimed from the heavens. For God has come to save. And God has come, they're told, you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. There's a Saviour, they were told, first of all. I wondered who they thought they were going to meet, if they just cut it off at that point. Were they going to go and find some other angelic warrior down in Bethlehem? The angel carries on, you'll go and find a baby. You'll find a baby in a manger, in a trough, of all places. That's what you'll find. This is good news of great joy for all people. And there is this message. Don't be afraid. And then the whole of this angel host come, this army of heaven, come and speak to, verse 13. And they're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. They speak of those two realms that we were thinking of. These angels had come from the realm of heaven and come to earth. And now they proclaim the glory of God in the highest. God who dwells in the highest heavens. The glorious God. And they proclaim his glory as the one who shines in light. The one who is pure and holy. Holy, holy. As Isaiah puts it, or hears it. Glory to God in the highest heavens, but on earth peace. On earth peace. You might have thought when these two realms touch, as the realm of the purity of God in heaven touches this sinful world, you almost expect kaboom, that these two things would just erupt. But God says to earth, to earth, I give peace. Peace, goodwill to mankind, or grace, it could be translated, grace to mankind. That's what the angels come to proclaim, a message of good news. Today a Saviour's been born, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. He's the one who's the Christ. He's the one who's the Lord. And this is how you'll find him. And he himself will be the one who brings glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. It isn't just a whimsical carol of the angels, but the things they're singing of are the things that will become a reality through Jesus, aren't they? Jesus is here, a saviour, a baby lying in a manger, and what he's going to do in his life and death and rising again, he will be the glory of God in the highest. And he will be to the earth peace, grace to mankind. He's the words in action, isn't he? You see what I mean? As he will do all of those things in his life, it's not just a well-known phrase of Christmas. It sums up everything about Jesus and what he's come to do. To bring glory to God in the highest and peace and grace to people living here on earth. And in this moment as the Saviour comes, those two realms do touch. The heavens, where God dwells as Spirit in immense light, where there's not even the shadow of darkness. The Son of God has left there. He's left his throne in heaven, as we were just singing. And he's come here. And he's come as a baby. He's left the throne. He's come to a manger. And before that, a mother's womb. And heaven and earth touch. As the darling of heaven, as the Son of God comes to earth and lies surrounded by hay in a trough. And just for a moment, there is a blaze of glory. Almost it should be there the whole time, shouldn't it? Just a momentary blaze of glory that the shepherds see. A tiny other couple of tokens in Jesus' life, described as the heavens opening when he's baptized. Or up on the mountain of transfiguration, you could count them on one hand, the number of times when there's just a glimpse of the real, real glory of Jesus. But for most of the time, his glory is veiled. Light has come into darkness, as we sometimes read at Christmas in John's Gospel. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The true light, which gives light to every man, was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Light came into darkness. The Son of God became a baby, for he'd come to save. And the angels sing in the skies above Bethlehem, and perhaps the shepherds feared it was the end of the world, as an army appears and they dazzle with the glory of God. But they'd come not to proclaim war and end of the world and judgment and destruction, but they'd come to proclaim a Saviour being born. That today was a day of peace, a day of grace for the shepherds and for all. We think today on Christmas Day of the coming of the Saviour, of the baby born in Bethlehem. But those fears of the shepherds were kind of genuine fears too. And as we think of that, we need to remember too that Jesus is coming again. We remember on Christmas Day that he came as a baby. But we also need to give thought to the fact that he's coming again. And every Christmas that goes past is getting us closer and closer to when Jesus will come again. And he will come with a blaze of glory, he himself said. He'll come on the clouds with his angel army, and every eye will see him. Jesus said the same thing. Shining in brightness, Jesus will come again, surrounded by an army of angels. He will come to judge the earth. He will come to bring it all to an end. At some point, we don't know when that could be. Could it be still in the next days? Could it be in the next year? We don't have a clue. But as we think of Jesus coming, we think too of his return. As some of our carols tell us, once in Royal David City, begins in a cattle stall, but ends, we will see him in glory set at God's right hand on high. And so as we draw things to an end, we remember that happy day. The happy, happy day. For to us a son is given. And the shepherds heard that message, don't be afraid. A message for each one of us here this morning. We don't need to be afraid. God, yes, is a dangerous God, so glorious, so bright, so holy. We should fear, but he's come to save. He comes with a message of peace and grace. For the shepherds, they were told, today in the city of David, a Saviour's been born. And as we have elsewhere in the Bible, that promise that today is a day of salvation, for there is a Saviour for each one of us. Do not be afraid. That's our message for today. For today there is a Saviour, and today is a day of salvation, when we can come and know that peace that comes from the heavens to earth. Grace that has come from God to mankind, to men and women and children like us here this morning. Grace has come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to save. And as we turn to him, we might discover truly today a happy, happy day. As we sang in the last verse of our children's song, Sinner, come and find release, the incarnate Prince of Peace. Let the wonder of his glory fill your heart. As we find out more of the glory of Jesus, yeah, there'll be times we'll be afraid. At times we'll fear to see something of his majesty and power. But he's come as the Prince of Peace to save us from our sins. And so today, in all the things you unwrap, all the gifts you receive, don't forget this greatest one. A Saviour that's been born. A day of salvation like today, when we can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, have our sins forgiven, and receive that gift of peace he offers.